Final hour on this Tuesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Titans wrapping up their first of two joint practices with the Falcons down in Atlanta. It looks like they just finished up a one-field team drill, so where instead of having one team's defense and offense on one field and vice versa on the other, they bring everybody together. Titans forced a three and out, according to Teron Davenport, to start it, but then Cam Ward got picked off again. Tried to get a slant to Elik Iamanner. A.J. Terrell punched it in the air. Jesse Bates got the interception. So two interceptions today for Cam Ward. The other one, TD says he just didn't see the defender lurking in zone. Linebacker Josh Woods, I believe, was the one to make the interception. Kendall Brooks picked off Kirk Cousins in the one-field team drills. Bryce Oliver had a couple of catches from Trevor Siemian on the final drive. Man, Connor, based on what we're seeing, the story of the day might be T-Money Wiggle.
T-Money Wiggle. Let Trevor wiggle.
Let Trevor Siemian cook. His first day back.
Cooking's banned.
Oh, cooking is banned.
In the Titans organization.
So, right, okay. And we can't boil. So, Trevor Siemian, let him wiggle. Apparently had a pretty good day out there in his first practice back with the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's talk some fantasy football here, Connor.
Yes.
It is. I know that. It's maybe not the most important topic. It doesn't have anything really to do with how the Titans are going to do on the field, but we're getting close to draft season. And
I'm in an NFL and college football league.
Really?
I didn't know college football fantasy exists.
Fantasy college football. I did not know that existed.
I'm excited.
I understand that, you know, it's some people don't care about fantasy football, but it's like when we're just recapping practice, it's good to look at what the Titans may have in terms of skill players and what they could be looking for. I think Calvin Ridley really is the only truly draftable player early. Tony Pollard obviously would be in the conversation too. He had a good year. But it is funny to look and see, like, there might not be another single Titans player who you want to draft until the very late rounds. Like Cam Ward, maybe you bring him in as a backup, but
I would
don't know
not draft
about
Cam
that.
Ward.
Like, it is funny to look at the Titans this year and just be like, man, it's Calvin Ridley, it's Tony Pollard,
yep.
And that's pretty much it.
Those are the two. And if you're super, super desperate for a tight end, maybe Chigakonkwo might be the move. But, yeah. Tony Pollard and Calvin Ridley, those are the only two I'm looking at.
Yeah, it is funny to look at the roster and say, man, the skill positions are thin. Now, who knows? Later in the season, maybe somebody pops up like an Elik Iamanner or Chim Dike, somebody like that. Maybe Tajay Spears comes back and is explosive. But the only guys that you can really count on, Ridley and Pollard at this point, and I don't know if there's a space that you could draft Calvin Ridley too high at this point. Like, obviously, he's not a
first round
pick,
but
like, the way that Cam Ward continually tries to just feed Calvin Ridley, he could have a career-type year. Like, let's look at Calvin Ridley's year-by-year stats.
I'm in a league with a bunch of non-Titans fans, so my plan is to just let him slip as far as I can possibly let him go and take him in, like, the fourth or the fifth round when he's sitting there.
So like 2020, I don't think he's going to get to 90 catches, 1,300 yards, and 9 touchdowns. That seems high. But the last 2 years, he's had 1,016 yards and 1,017 yards. I would feel pretty good saying that he's going to probably eclipse that, maybe even 1,100, 1,150,
yeah,
somewhere around there. If he keeps on, if that relationship with Ward continues to grow.
And maybe double-digit touchdowns. I don't know. We're just kind of projecting here, but I agree with you. I think if the connection between Ward and Ridley is as strong as it was on Saturday night, I think Calvin Ridley would be a safe pick for you in your fantasy league.
Right. 3 catches, 50 yards, and what, 15 snaps? Was that it? So
yeah.
I think Ridley is a guy that if you're like Connor, and I guess I'm in a lot of leagues without Titans fans too.
I would assume you would
just
be.
Yeah, just keep it to yourself.
Don't tell anyone.
Keep Calvin Ridley as a sleeper.
As we're saying this on public radio where everyone can hear.
Well, but most people listening follow the Titans, so just don't tell your non-Titans fans. I did want to – Alec Iemanner, I mentioned, as a sleeper. I'm a little concerned based on some of the stuff that we've seen. I saw a tweet earlier, I believe it was from TD, said that Alec Iemanner – Ward almost got picked off on a crossing route. Alec Iemanner has to attack the ball better. I'm a little worried about – Iemanner kind of having the Treylon Burks syndrome of just like not going and getting it. Like that was what AJ Brown was so good at, was he would come back to the ball. He would go up and attack the football. And like Alec seems to have all the traits that you would want in a wide receiver. He's big. He's pretty fast. I mean, he's a good route runner, but I just wonder if, you know, not to use like a cliche, but like, is that dog there to just go and attack the football? And if it's a 50-50 ball, it's a 70-30 ball.
You know who was horrible at not going and getting it? And I used to get so mad at him when he was here. Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Corey Davis would just sit and wait for it.
That's another good example of kind of like Burks, of just like man, Corey Davis, like really good traits. Like you watch him at Western Michigan. I still will never get over how good that Western Michigan tape was from Corey Davis. His final season, it was one of the best wide receiver seasons in college football history. There's a reason that he went fifth overall. But yeah, it just like to be a good wide receiver in this league, to be an elite wide receiver in this league, which I'm not counting on Alec Iemanner to be an elite wide receiver in this league, but
fourth round pick.
If you want to be that, you gotta like there's a reason wide receivers are divas. You gotta have a little bit of that mentality of like, I am better than you, I am going to go beat you on every single snap. And if you don't have that, it does kind of pull you back towards the middle, and I'm worried a little. Like, again, it's training camp. It's preseason. I'm not, like, ringing any alarm bells, but, like, I have noticed that a little bit with Alec Iemanner of, like, there's just a little bit that you hope for more when it comes to just being a dog out there on the field.
And you hope that'll come with time. Maybe being in a real game with real game speed against real NFL players will kind of eliminate that out of him. Maybe he'll have his welcome to the NFL moment where he goes up for a jump ball and just gets popped.
Right.
And then you never see it again.
Like Treylon Burks?
Not him. I mean the thing. Like
Trey. Yeah. I do hope that Iemanner I hope that is a thing of like, hey, maybe he just turns it on when the lights shine. But so far we haven't seen it. We do have Dustin from Hopkinsville.
Which one?
Chiming in.
The real one?
The real OG from Hoptown, as he calls himself.
Oh, yes.
He says, anyone stating the Titans have found their quarterback in one preseason game automatically loses any credibility they had for me. It's just ignorant. I will say the exact same thing the opposite way. Anyone saying the Titans haven't found their quarterback based off of one preseason game in training camp loses credibility too. Because anybody saying that they don't believe that he's the guy based off of one preseason game, it's ridiculous.
I don't think you should really have an opinion right now. You've right. seen one preseason game.
You can lean one way or the other. I mean, look at, speaking of which, Robert on our text line, leave it to the Titans to pick the wrong QB. Of course they did. Should have got Sanders.
So should have every other team in the NFL who passed over him five times.
Robert, he was a fifth round pick. The Browns took another quarterback before they took Shedeur Sanders.
I mean, what do we not understand about this?
It's not like the Titans were debating this. I think they decided they were taking Cam Ward in, like, February.
And I think it was obvious. And I think the differences are glaring.
The New York Giants tried to trade up with multiple first-round picks to get Cam Ward. They traded up to take Jackson Dart over Shedeur Sanders later in the first round. Like, this isn't just a Titans thing. If it is in the realm of possibility that Cam Ward flames out and Shedeur Sanders ends up being a star, that is within the realm of possibility.
It's also within the realm of possibility that Tyler Shuck ends up being a better quarterback than Cam Ward.
Right. But based on the information that the entire NFL had, Cam Ward was the obvious number one overall pick. Shedeur Sanders was not a first-round pick at the very minimum. So, that like, I don't want anybody to ever talk about the Titans should have taken Shedeur Sanders because it wasn't even on the table.
It wasn't an option.
There was never a thought of taking Shedeur Sanders.
I mean, look at the quarterback depth chart, for lack of a better terms, of the draft. Cam Ward was in a tier of his own.
Right.
Then I think that second tier is Jackson Dart and Tyler Shuck and
I think
guys like that.
Like Shedeur Sanders, I do think that he slipped further than he did because of A, probably some personality stuff that teams didn't like, and it's stupid, but the baggage of, like, you bring him in and you're going to deal with the calls from fans that you have to start Shedeur Sanders. Like, that is something.
Well, I think it was a lot of follower mentality, too. Like, oh, the Browns didn't take a quarterback. Something must be up. I'll use draft day as an example. Remember when he doesn't take Bo Callahan and the kid from Jacksonville calls?
What's wrong with him?
I think there was a little bit of that going on.
There might have been. I think Shedeur Sanders, probably, if you're looking at pure talent on the football field, slots in the Shuck to Milroe range of quarterbacks. Like, he was a day two level talent, I think. But he was never in conversation to go with the first overall pick. So it's just a stupid argument to say, oh, the Titans should have taken Sanders, even if it does pan out that Sanders is better than Ward, which, again, I don't think is going to happen based on what we know. But it is not impossible that Sanders ends up being better than Ward. But even if it does happen, it was never even a question of whether to draft Shedeur Sanders. So it's irrelevant. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to your phone's reaction to the Titans' joint practice with the Falcons. Overall, seems like it was a day won by the Falcons. And actually, here we go. I was waiting for the overall takeaways, and Teron Davenport, friend of the program, chiming in. Overall takeaway from the first Titans practice today is not good. They seem sluggish to start offensively. A lot of balls on the ground. Struggled to run the ball in team period early too. Meanwhile, Michael Penix and the Falcons cut up the Titans secondary. It's one practice, so no need to panic, but it wasn't good today. Think that's probably
Honestly, that's what I expected to hear last week with Tampa.
That is honestly the exact thing I expected to come out of the Tampa joint practice. It was a bad day for the Titans today.
And look, Titans defense isn't good. Atlanta has a good offense. So, I mean, I don't know what you expected.
Titans will have a chance to bounce back tomorrow. We'll continue to react to the Titans joint practices in Atlanta. Overall, seems like the Falcons won the day. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, next man up. You're on 1025 The Game. This is
real. This is me. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Next man up, 1025 The Game. You see that she came out with them?
Oh,
the other
I was very
night,
excited.
Con?
This is a good movie.
Camp Rock is, it holds up as a Disney Channel original movie.
It's horrible, but it's great.
All Disney Channel original movies are not good when it comes to, like, actually rating them against real movies. But
it's a good song.
In terms of the Disney Channel, I will say they knew how to make soundtracks, original music. Great.
We could blast the whole Lemonade Mouth. Oh yeah, that's the best one.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Got a couple of thoughts on the text line I want to get to, but first an update from friend of the program Paul Kaharski on X. Lloyd Cushenberry says his plan is to be ready for opening day. Obviously, it's just a plan. You don't know 100%, but I think that is the timeline matches up with him coming off the PUP list, getting back, doing some individual work this week, and then hopefully gearing up over the next couple of weeks to be ready for Denver, which would be huge for the Titans. Not that Corey Levin is horrible, but you'd love to have your starting five offensive linemen ready to go for Cam Ward's debut on September 7th against the Broncos. Wes in Clarksville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, would it have been crazy to do what the Browns did and get Sanders later in the draft and have Cam and Sanders? Then if both Cam and Sanders light it up, you could have traded one for a better pick than what you got Shedeur with. The answer is yes, it would have been crazy.
And I understand the thought process of, like, look back at 2012 when the Redskins, that back then the Redskins, took RG3, number two overall, then took Kirk Cousins in the fifth round.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins ended up being the better NFL quarterback. The difference is Kirk Cousins is the most vanilla person you could possibly bring into that quarterback room, and he isn't going to cause any problems. Shedeur Sanders, with the big personality and the baggage of being Deion Sanders' son that comes with it, you would immediately put somebody looking over Cam Ward's shoulder who the fan base would be ready to turn to in a second. And you can't have that for a young quarterback.
And I think Kirk Cousins, even as a prospect, you knew the kind of player he was going to be. Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders both have so many question marks heading into their rookie season that I don't think you could pair the two together. I don't think it would work.
No, it would. There is zero chance that that wouldn't end in disaster, because there are going to be people who just love Shedeur Sanders so much or love Deion so much that the second Ward throws his first NFL interception, are going to be calling for him to be benched for Shedeur Sanders.
Yep.
And that is how you kill a young quarterback's confidence immediately.
And kill two young quarterbacks' confidence. Because if Shedeur does the same thing, guess what happens?
What's the old adage? If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any?
Yep.
Like, I don't think that would have worked. It worked for Cousins and Griffin because Cousins had the personality to make it work.
And Griffin got hurt.
Mike says what they should have done was try to trade the pick to the Giants, get a treasure chest of picks, and they still could have taken Sanders. Again, Shedeur Sanders had one good preseason game. Like, we have no idea what he's going to be in the NFL. And the NFL told you, based on what they did in the draft, that Cam Ward was the number one pick, Shedeur Sanders was a borderline quarterback prospect. Like, the Giants tried to trade up because they thought Cam Ward was a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
I don't think I can continue to go on this string of texts around.
You are pretty hard-headed.
I just, like,
you're giving disappointing answers to this question.
This is starting to get to the territory of the people saying that the Savannah Bananas could beat the Nashville Sounds, and
the worst one.
My mind can't wrap around how they're thinking.
Are you going to start saying "you people" now?
No,
is that where we're going?
I will not do that. Wes from Hermitage asks, "What was our takeaway on Dan Moore? Again, against backups, but he looked fine."
I mean, we're not talking about him, so that's
probably
the best possible outcome you could have.
That is exactly what you want for a left tackle. Like, obviously, you'd prefer Trent Williams. I'd like Trent Williams, but if your left tackle isn't making headlines, a really good thing. And so far, Dan Moore, since arriving, has not made a single headline, and I think that means it's going into the right direction. Justin from Greenbrier says, "I thought Lab Rats was probably one
Dude,
of
Lab
Disney's
Rats was
best
great.
Shows."
Lab Rats was awesome.
That's so funny. It's a good show.
Lab Rats was good.
They had some some guy people who ended up being stars. I forget the guy's name.
He's on Abbott Elementary now, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. And then they had the guy who was the quarterback who everyone made fun of doing the during the show. That wasn't a great way to describe it. But anyway, Dustin from Hopkinsville says the Giants are dumb if the Giants wanted Ward, red flag. I mean, they're still NFL personnel people. Like, they didn't get there by doing a bad job. Like, Brian Daboll's the reason Josh Allen became so good. So, I'm moving off that. Let's go to Gorilla on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Thanks for waiting. What you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? First time caller.
Appreciate you calling,
man?
In.
Enjoying the show, man. I just want to chime in on some of the text messages coming through with you guys, man, about the Shedeur Cam Ward deal, comparing the two. You know, I don't know what's wrong with this fan base. This fan base is like kind of low IQ when it comes down to football, more emotional than just really, you know, analytics and just looking at the reality. If Cam Ward, again, if Shedeur Sanders played the same two series, within two series, he was 3 for 9 for, I believe it was like 30 yards.
Yeah, it was 3 for 7 for 30 yards with a punt and a turnover on downs.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what is the thing of compare? I mean, did you not watch those two guys playing with each other? See, now, I'm an alpha male, and I know how alpha males come together and rub each other. Cam is the alpha. When those two guys were down in Miami or wherever they were practicing together, he just really obliterated Shador. I mean, I was waiting for Shador to just cry for his dad at one point in time. Now, I like Shador. I never thought he was a number one draft pick. He's just not a number one draft pick. And the NFL showed you. I don't think there was any kind of slight towards the dad or to Shador or anybody. They just showed you how they value his talent. And golly, Nashville, Hopkinsville, the Dustin dude, man, for real? Do you just, I don't know. Cam is, in my opinion, the truth, guys. Given a fairly decent environment, you know, O-line, coaching, I mean, I'm really out on the coaching right now. Are they gonna develop him? But no, he's head and shoulders above Shador, guys. I mean, please get that through your head. He's head and shoulders above Shador, man. I'm sorry. Hey, man, I love the show, man. I love the lineup this station has now, man. You guys are off to some real, real big bad things, man. Hope you can grow with Cam Ward, with the city, all of the above, man. Y'all be blessed. I'll hang up and listen.
You too, Gorilla. Thanks for calling in.
I feel honored that an alpha male just called in.
I mean, that was a great call. I don't have too much to add to that. I said, Connor, and you can back me up here, when we had Corey on Thursday, that if Shador Sanders has a good game on Friday, people around here are going to melt down.
I told you.
And it's not everybody. I don't want to put a blanket statement out there because I think there are a lot of rational Titans fans around here who realize that you can't make blanket statements after one preseason game. But I really...
I'm sorry.
I know. I'm reading the text too. I called this. I said that people are going to melt down because Shador Sanders had one good game. And it's not apples to apples because, again, Shador Sanders was not good through his first two series. He settled into the game and got better. Who knows what Cam Ward would have done if he played 2.5 quarters worth of football.
And he wanted to.
And, right. He said he wanted to stay in there. I mean, here's a novel idea. Let's not decide what these two quarterbacks are going to be before they've played a real NFL game yet. I know it's bold. I don't want to, you know, completely go off the rails here.
You're like the Hulk right now. I gotta bring you back down to earth.
Let's not decide who's a bust and who's a star after one preseason game. I'll just put that out there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 30 minutes left in the show. We'll continue to talk Titans. And also, the AP Top 25 came out yesterday.
And also Sky High reviews.
Yes, I saw that. 2133 says, no love for Sky High.
We love
Sky High. Great movie.
Great one.
I didn't think we'd be getting into Disney Channel.
We could totally
movie.
Pivot to that. It'd be so fun.
I mean, I could do it. I don't know if there's a lot of people who want to hear about that out there. We'll stick with the Titans. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, next man up. 1025 The Game.
Yes!
Well done, Connor Newton.
Just trying to get... It's a White Boy Tuesday.
It's one of the greatest original soundtracks of all time. And
I mean, if you grew up with sisters,
I'm telling
you, know.
You... Well, yeah, I grew up with two sisters.
Yeah, I grew up with one, so...
I do have to, I'll put it out there. Pop stars today are lucky Bridget Mendler wanted to be a rocket scientist.
Oh, yeah.
Because she could have taken him.
And what's her name's in this movie, too?
Yes.
Naomi Scott.
Right. She was just in that, was it the Smile movie? Something
like
that.
Yeah.
Well, she was Jasmine in Aladdin, too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number.
I could send us down a tangent
slight
anytime.
Slight tangent here on Next Man Up here on 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, final half hour of the show. Lots of reaction to Gorilla's call on our text line.
Alpha male.
Gorilla's an alpha male. And honestly, I thought everything he said in that that call was great. Like, I agree with pretty much everything he said. Maybe could have used words, chosen some better words for being around other alpha males. But, you know, we will move on.
He was just giving you the rub. That's all.
Couple of quick things from Atlanta. Titans wrapped up practice. A couple of players talking to the media. And seems like the Titans players are taking accountability, which is good to see. Because all accounts, bad day of practice. Jarvis Brownlee Jr. had some choice words, saying it was BS the way they practiced today. Jeffrey Simmons said he's concerned about the slow starts, especially since it's carried over from last season. The good news for the Titans is this isn't like last week in Tampa where you only had the one day of joint practice. And even though things went decently well in that joint practice, there wasn't a chance to respond until the preseason game. And in the preseason game, the Bucs benched all their starters.
Yeah.
So it really, you couldn't get a real firm grasp of your response and your competitive level. Tomorrow, you get a chance to do the exact same thing over again. Another joint practice against the same team. Can you respond? That's a big question for Brian Callahan tomorrow.
Yeah, right? It's about responding. And, you know, we've talked about stacking good days together. And obviously, the Titans didn't have a good day today.
And every day is not going to be good.
Right. The problem is, don't stack two bad days together,
right?
Because that's when things start to get concerning.
I think that's just as important as stacking good days. Like, obviously, you want to build on the things you do well, but you can't let one bad day lead to another. And that's on the leadership on this team, which we've talked about is lacking in a lot of areas.
Yes.
But it's mostly on Brian Callahan. And I will be really interested to see how this team responds tomorrow. The offense seemingly struggled. Cam Ward threw a couple of picks in team drills. The defense, all the reports are saying that basically Michael Penix carved him up today. So they've got to be better tomorrow. And I think if they are, that can be a big boost heading into the preseason game on Friday. And I'm excited to see what the Titans are able to do tomorrow. Again, we'll be on the air during the joint practice again tomorrow from 9 to noon, and we'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 with us for the full show. He's out there in Atlanta, so he'll be able to give us some good insights on what the practice looked like today against the Falcons. Did mention earlier in the show, the AP Top 25 preseason poll for college football is out, and I did want to get to a couple of highlights there before we wrap up here. 1-3 in week one. I was really hoping Ohio State was going to be number two.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't really matter. But Penn State number two, Ohio State number three. However, I saw ESPN reported yesterday, at least dating back to 1978. I think they said that's where their records go back to. The number one team in the preseason poll has never been an underdog in week one. But this year, that changes. Texas having to go to the Horseshoe and take on Ohio State. So they will be an underdog, at least as of right now.
By how much? What's the spread?
Let me see. I haven't checked. I would assume it's no more than like a couple of points.
Yeah, because like
no more than three.
They give 3.5.
They give 3 to the home team typically. Let's see. That's a noon game. Right now it's Ohio State by 2.5. So
oh, yeah, that's about where you would think.
And that could change, but very interesting to see. And that first weekend is awesome. Week two, there's not a whole lot of...
I mean, your best games are probably Oklahoma and Michigan.
Right, that's the
Kentucky
only ranked game, I think. Looking around, like, you got Iowa, Iowa State, which, fine.
Vandy heads to Virginia Tech.
Vandy, Virginia Tech, honestly, is probably one of the better games that week. Arizona State, Mississippi State, and yeah, Michigan, Oklahoma is the only ranked matchup.
Kentucky, Ole Miss, baby.
But man, you look at the week one schedule. Texas, Ohio State at 11 a.m. You got Syracuse, Tennessee at 11 a.m. So you'll have to dual screen that one. Then Alabama, Florida State's at 2:30. And LSU, Clemson in Death Valley. The other Death Valley.
Yeah,
though.
The
not
lesser
the, not
Death
the
Valley.
Primary Death Valley. And then on Sunday, the Hokies heading to Atlanta to take on South Carolina. I'm thinking that might be a blowout. And then Notre Dame-Miami, a top 10 matchup on Sunday night too. So week one's going to be awesome. It is 18 days away from that Saturday. Yeah. August 30th. So we're
about a week and a half from week zero.
And we got a true top 25 matchup in week zero. How
Farm
often does
again.
That happen? Farmageddon. Iowa State, Kansas State is a true top 25 game in Dublin. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. At least it gives us a game to watch. Like, Florida State, Georgia Tech ended up being fun last year because everyone thought Florida State was going to be a top 10 team. They had DJ Uiagalelei, and they were coming off a 13-0 season before they got blown out by Georgia in the bowl game. And they got upset. So it ended up being fun to watch. But you look back at that and you're like, all right, well, Florida State went 2-10. How good were they really? This one, I think we've actually got like a good game. And that's 11 a.m. on Saturday, August 23rd. I will be locked in for Farmageddon.
And then you'll watch New Mexico and, you know,
right,
some FCS team you've never heard of.
Yeah, what are the other games that week? I haven't actually looked. It's nothing important. Let's see. Week zero games. We got Farmageddon at 11 a.m. And here's the rest of this great slate. Idaho State UNLV at 3.
Oh, yeah.
Fresno State Kansas at 5:30.
That's not bad. I mean, they're two fringe top 25 teams.
It's a watchable game. I don't think the Sickos committee will write you up if you don't watch that one. Sam Houston, Western Kentucky. The Toppers start their season in Bowling Green. And then only at 6:30 p.m. So it's a day game in the islands. Hawaii hosting Stanford.
Oh, nothing hits harder than Hawaii hosting at like 10 p.m. I know.
Why isn't that like an 11:59 p.m. kickoff like they've done in the past?
Wasn't it Vanderbilt a couple years ago when and it was like a 10 p.m. kickoff
and
or something like that?
And that game ended like 63-45 or something like that.
Yeah.
With Mike Wright was the quarterback in that game.
Mississippi State legend.
Yes. Yes. And Northwestern legend. And where is he now? He's still playing. He's at ECU now. Mike Wright is still around.
Oh, he's a Pirate.
I think so.
Coach McCabe.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Last call for phones on the program. One segment to go. We'll wrap up our thoughts on the Titans and college football coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
You, me, we're face to face, but we don't see eye.
This is my favorite one.
Man, what an hour this has turned into with the Bub music.
This is my favorite.
I wonder what TD's reaction would be if you did this when he's in here next Tuesday.
He'd kill me. He wouldn't know what this was.
He would have no idea that this is, you know, the big ballad moment in Camp Rock 2, the final jam.
Oh, this is powerful, man.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, it's like they're going their separate ways, but then they come together at the end and I could totally go the gorilla route here, but I won't.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Final segment, Chasing Big Joe coming up right after us. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Clay is on the line. Clay, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Jake, first of all, I wanted to just congratulate you on, you know, this show. I know there was a lot of shakeup at the station when they couldn't work out a new deal with Jerry Stillman. So that was first. And then I'm a huge Vanderbilt fan. I have listened to you some on the women's game, specifically the one where Blake's had 55 points. That was something. But, I just wanted to call and say I was a huge Vanderbilt fan. I do listen to you sometimes. And but I had a comment on the Titans. Cam Ward, I thought when he was in the game, did actually okay. The problem was late in the game, the backup quarterbacks, you know, it just kind of went downhill. So, you know, my question to y'all would be, what are the Titans going to do if Cam gets hurt? Because, you know, football is a pretty violent sport, and, you know, quarterbacks get hurt, anybody gets hurt. So it could look, you know, kind of ugly if there's a situation sometime in the season where Cam is down and they've got to play a backup. I just wanted y'all's comments on that.
Clay, thanks for calling. Appreciate you listening here and on Vandy Women's Basketball. That Mikayla Blake's 55-point game against Auburn was pretty special. 15-point comeback to win that one in overtime, too. On the backup quarterback, what are the Titans going to do if Cam Ward gets hurt? They're going to suck. Like, that's, I mean, I think that's about as simple as you can put it. They are not going to be good if Cam Ward.
I mean, that's been the story of the past 2 days. So.
Right. It's like, I mean, I don't think they're going to be very good even if Cam Ward stays healthy, but, like, they're going to be horrible if Cam Ward gets hurt. And I think that's kind of what Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker are counting on is, hey, if Cam Ward goes down, I compared it to Joe Burrow's rookie season where he went down and they ended up picking, what, fifth and took Ja'Marr Chase. So it's like, I think the Titans are saying, you know, we want Cam Ward to stay healthy, but if he gets hurt, we'll pick as high as we possibly can in the draft next year. A couple more thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Justin from Greenbrier says, I want to see all the warts on the Titans in these practices and see them improve in the games. I think the jury is still out for me on this coaching staff, offense, and defense. Dustin from Hopkinsville, who is very popular on the station today, said, ... isn't a good coach. I assume he's talking about Callahan. I'm a realist. I'm a real fan. Fake fans shoot sunshine and rainbows. I'm real. I think I'm with Justin from Greenbrier in, like, let's wait and see. If I had to choose right now, if Brian Callahan is long-term solution at head coach for the Titans, I would say no.
Right.
But they've given him another chance, so all we can do is give him a chance to go prove people wrong. I know there's a lot of people out there who think Callahan should be fired immediately, but, like, let's give him a chance. He's going to be the head coach for at least until the Patriots game.
I mean, I think that's a fair assessment from Dustin. Like, you can go into this season and think, you know, Brian Callahan's not a good coach. They're going to suck, because the reality is it's probably true. But I'm still with you, Jake. I'm kind of in wait and see mode as far as Cam and, you know, the pieces they've brought in, because do I expect them to suck? Yes, but I want to see them develop is where I'm getting at.
Right, and I mean, that's kind of where I am. Like, do I think Brian Callahan, if I had to pick right now, will be the head coach at this point next year? I would probably say no.
Right.
But he's going to coach the games, so let's watch him coach the games and see if he makes strides. I mean, it is entirely possible that he gets better. I think he was in over his head last year being a first-time head coach and a first-time play caller, and he didn't surround himself with a whole lot of experience outside of his dad. This year, he brought in Bones Fossil, which is a step in the right direction. Let's see what he does. It could very well be horrible, and the team could go 3-14 again.
To which brings up my question of all questions as far as the Titans staff.
Yeah.
What the hell does Nick Holtz do? Because I don't know what he does. I genuinely don't know what his role is.
I mean, it's the classic. Well, like, he's what Brian Callahan was for the Bengals.
Yeah, but you're an offensive coordinator and you don't call plays. So yeah.
That's the
point?
That's what Callahan did in Cincinnati, and that's what LaFleur did with the Rams before he came to Tennessee. So it's like, yeah, you need an offensive coordinator because Brian Callahan does have other stuff on his plate. Like, he can't just completely ignore the defense. Although I wish he would have brought in a more experienced defensive coordinator who could kind of take the defense. But, like, Holes has to be there to do something. It is just, it's hard to, you can't really blame or give credit to Nick Holes for anything because
he just holds the iPad.
Right. He's just kind of there. So, I mean,
Nick, give me a Gatorade.
Is that I wonder if that's how it goes. The former teammates at, was it De La Salle? Is that where they went in California?
Something. Damn it, like Nick, I wanted blue. This is red.
Yeah, with Callahan, like, I'm not impressed by anything we've seen, but, you know, he's going to coach again, at least until the Patriots game, I would say.
So at least till the if he loses.
I mean, if he loses the Patriots, bets are off. We have no idea what's going to happen. But, you know, he's going to coach at least until the Patriots game, which is, what, October 19th, something like that. Wes in Clarksville asks, is Snead going to be ready for week one? Who knows?
I don't know. I don't really care at this point.
Like,
I expect him not to be.
I think at this point, Titans fans should care way more about whether Lloyd Cushenberry is going to be ready for week one than L'Jarius Snead. It seems like Cushenberry is on the right foot. I saw a TD put out a tweet that said Cushenberry's gotten to the point where he doesn't think about the Achilles anymore. It's easy to say that. We'll see if it actually happens in practice. Like,
yeah.
Those injuries are tough to come back from mentally just as much as physically. So we'll see if Cushenberry over the next 3+ weeks is able to get ready and be the starting center for that game against his former team, the Broncos. But I think at this point, you feel good about Cushenberry being healthy at least by week two.
Yeah, I'm still concerned about week one. I feel like they'll rotate him with Corey Levin.
Yeah, it's possible. Maybe they get
just because I don't think he'll be at full strength.
Well, and I think Mile High is just a tough place to go play, especially when he missed the first half of training camp. So we will see, but good to see that he was back out on the practice field today, did pass his physical, and the Titans will look to bounce back after a tough joint practice in Atlanta today. They'll be back on the field tomorrow. Corey Curtis will join us for the full show to recap what went down there in Flowery Branch, Georgia. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt signing off. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're on 102.5 The Game.